Grace to you and peace. It comes from God our Father and through the knowledge and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God's gift to us today is in his holy word from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 20 through 24. "Do not be afraid," Samuel replied. "You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you, because they are useless. For the sake of his great name, the Lord will not reject his people, because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. As for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. And I will teach you the way that is good and right. But be sure to fear the Lord and serve him faithfully with all your heart. Consider what great things he has done for you." Last verse 25, "Yet if you persist in doing evil, both you and your king will be swept away." This is the word of the Lord. We bow our heads in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. In the name of Jesus Christ, God's own Son, who reveals God's heart to us. Dearly loved family of God, we've all known people that just have a problem with God. And one of the most bold, loud people like that was at that free car wash the campus ministry had here a few years ago. Some of you that maybe were here, a very cold day, and he just wanted to make sure everybody there knew that he was a secular humanist who had no use for God. That was the words that he used, and that he raised his kids that way. He and his wife made that decision a long time ago not to go to church anymore, raised their kids as secular humanists. They turned out all right, and all you church people watching, he liked the free car wash part. But all he wanted to tell us, he had no use for God. But there is a part of all of us that relates to that way too much. There is a part of us that wanders away from God and doesn't realize it. It's like a red-hot coal that you can maybe take out of your fireplace. If you set it out on a stone-cold sidewalk, you know what would happen. It would eventually go out. And this is what happens to our souls when we get away from God's word and sacrament too long. The fire just starts to get colder and colder. We're living in that time when Jesus said the love of most will grow cold. Some people who even call themselves Christians don't hear Christ saying to them anymore, "He who is of God hears God's word." Jesus told his own Jewish people, "You therefore hear them not because you are not of God." That's cold. Not the way God wants it. And certainly, reason again to thank God that he, in his love, has brought us together to his house again today to keep those fires burning with word and sacrament. Not only to kindle our hearts in the first place through baptism or the word, however he got through the first time, but with the Holy Supper, with his word of grace, to remind us all what it means that God gave his Son unto death, and by that good news, to stoke the fires again. See, he wants to give us that heart that burns brightly for God, and he knows the only way to get through to us, sometimes stubborn, sometimes cold, is to give us his heart. God gives us his heart so that he can win ours. And that's his story today when he says, "Serve the Lord with all your heart," and tells us, "Don't be afraid, don't turn away." Years ago, back in the day when my own kids were in Sunday school. I remember their Sunday school teacher telling me that they had a problem with the time of the judges. Imagine this. 200 years between Joshua crossing the Jordan River, conquering the promised land, the first king, Saul. It was backwards and forwards. And the Sunday school teacher said, I put this all out there for them that as long as things were going well, then everybody was happy, but they forgot about the Lord. During times of prosperity, the Israelites would always go back to worshiping other gods, and then the Lord would discipline them and, you know, send foreign armies or raise up internal enemies, and then the people would be suffering, and they would cry out to the Lord, and the Lord would always raise up another judge and deliver them. And as soon as they were delivered, they would go back to worshiping other gods. And I told them this a couple times, she said. And finally, these kids said, "Not again. What's wrong with those people?" And she said, "That's you. That's me. That's all of us, the way we treat God." Isn't it true? Isn't it true that when the gas tank is full and the prices are good and the economy is making more jobs and the stock market is doing what we all want it to do, always growing, when we're healthy and strong and the family's okay, and it's so easy to just get so wrapped up in the things of this life and the things that we enjoy, and so typically they're blessings from God, they're good things. I just think back to the time when I was a teenager and, of course, not preaching, and took that year off from college and worked in the cabinet shop, and the hardest thing for me spiritually was sitting in church and trying not to think about whatever project I was building or the next one after that or what tools I wanted to buy. It was just before that, when I was in high school, it was all about relationships. You know how that goes. When you get older and it's businesses, or you have grandchildren, and there's always something. And as I'm telling you these things, I know what happens in your mind. It's like spokes on a wheel. Okay, this idea comes up, that idea comes up, and now I'm over here, and now I'm over there. And it's always a struggle to get back on point with Christ. Isn't it true? And it's these wonderful blessings from God that keep on taking us in our wayward, wandering hearts someplace else. Someplace away from God. We need His help to focus. As He draws us back. One of our professors told us, this was like 20-some years ago, it's worse now. Is there a sound in here that... I keep hearing, is it just my ears? Take that away from the kids so I can think. Professor Jeske told us that in preaching, we have to remember that people's concentration is about 20 seconds long. Believe that? Attention spans of about 20 minutes. 20 seconds, I wish 20 minutes. When you're watching, watch with the kids sometimes, just watch the way shows are now. There's this flash. Like, we all were raised on Sesame Street, so we got to have those pictures coming. If you go back and watch even some of the detective shows that you might have liked back in the 80s, there was one I tried to watch, and it just like they went on forever and ever while he's driving through town. And I'm thinking, where's the story? We have this short attention span, and we have to focus. So God wants to bring us back, and He's doing that with the Israelites here. He did that constantly with this discipline to them. Now imagine poor Samuel. He's at the end of this time of the judges. And he's had to put up with this all his life. His mother prayed for him, gave him up to the Lord, and leaves him there at the tabernacle with Eli, old Eli, to raise him. And Samuel grows up with these people that are constantly turning away. And then toward the end of his life, and he's the last of the judges, he has two sons, and he's going to make them judges too. But they're corrupt. They don't turn out to be the kind of sons he tried to raise. He didn't have a good role model from Eli growing up, and he was constantly on the road. He was constantly a judge. And the people didn't want his sons to be their judges. Can you imagine how poor Samuel felt after serving the Lord faithfully all those years of his life, and then finally at the end, they don't want him, they don't want his sons, they want a king. And they're absolutely determined that they will have a king. The Lord says to Samuel as he was praying, give them a king. And don't feel bad. Because it's not you they're rejecting, it's me. But you warn them what a king will do. So he did. He'll take your sons for his army. He'll take your daughters for his palace. He'll take from your crops 10%. From your herds, you're going to be taxed. And when you come back to me and cry out about how bad this is, I'm not going to feel sorry for you, the Lord says. Because you asked for a king, and a king is what you got. Big, tall, kingly-looking Saul. Everything's going fine at first. These enemies are getting beaten by Saul. And you know how it is. When your life is good, God must be happy with you, right? And when your life is bad, that's when we start to ask the questions, why me, Lord? Why is this happening to me? We somehow let our feelings ride this roller coaster of good times and bad times. And the Israelites were doing that as a nation. And now that it's a good time for them, Samuel has to set them straight. God gave Samuel the ability at this time to send a storm. It was the time of the harvest, and it normally didn't thunder or rain then. But the Lord enabled Samuel to make it thunder and rain in a way that was pretty spectacular. Isn't that how sometimes the Lord gets our attention? I remember when we were first married, before we had kids, and we were just sleeping soundly once in the upper flat where we lived in Wisconsin, and all of a sudden one of those thunder claps just made it sound like the roof was coming off the house. And we just both woke up with a start. You know, you're almost shaking from that and thinking, that is a thumbnail of God's power. And look what that does. It gets our attention. And he got their attention here. And what a blessing that was for them. Because the people cried out to the Lord, and this is all the Lord really wants. They cried out to the Lord, Samuel, pray to the Lord to your God, for your servant, so that we will not die. For we have added to all our other sins the evil of asking for a king. That's all the Lord wants. He doesn't want money. He doesn't want sacrifice. All those animals in ancient times were really just pointing ahead to the ultimate sacrifice of God's own Son. What David said in Psalm 51, we'll sing from that again later, create in me a clean heart, O God. What the Lord inspired David to say was the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. When our hearts are broken and we plead to the Lord, he sends this kindness and this love, like Samuel, when he said, do not be afraid. Hundreds of times in the Bible, from the time when Adam and Eve were first trying to hide from God, all the way to Revelation, which is kind of a frightening book in places, the Lord keeps giving us the gospel and saying, do not be afraid. You have done all this evil, yet do not turn away from the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart. Do not turn away after useless idols. They can do you no good, nor can they rescue you because they are useless. Whether it was the roaring 20s or our own 1990s, if you remember what some economists were saying, the stock market would never give up. It was always going to keep on growing. Life was just going to keep on advancing. Remember that? And then came 2008. Whoops. Prosperity doesn't go on forever. And yet we always think it will. And those are the times when the Lord has to call us back and say, wait, those are useless idols. Money can't even guard itself. It's like Money is as powerless to guard itself as those old idols could do that the Israelites were always worshiping, where they had eyes but couldn't see and ears but they couldn't hear. Those idols couldn't even stand up by themselves. If they were made of wood, they had to be nailed down, propped up if they were made out of stone. The idols can't help us. We know that in our hearts. We don't worship those stone images. We know better than that. And yet our hearts are always drawn to those things of this world. And we have to come back to God and say, Lord, have mercy. Forgive me for my worldliness. Forgive me for my materialism, my greed. And it doesn't get better, my dear friends. You know, the golden years that aren't always so golden. Luther had it so right when he said, you know, the temptations come and go, kind of in stages. When you're young, the main temptation are sins of the flesh. Physical. Lust. Then you get to middle age and the temptation is in position. The flip side of that is, you know, the midlife crisis, when you wonder, have I done with my life what I should have done? And then, you know, people act crazy at times like that. That's position. And the end of life, the temptation, is, it's called avarice. It's greed. It's never having enough. And then your ability to earn money is getting less and less. You're on a fixed income. All of that makes it so difficult to keep your heart centered on God. In fact, we couldn't if it was up to us. But he says, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. The Lord is calling you back. Don't reject him. For the sake of his dear name, the Lord will not reject his people. Because the Lord was pleased to make you his own. You see what great things God has done for you? He's got three things here. It was the Lord's good pleasure to make you his own. This is what's so beautiful about the way the Lord brings us to faith according to the Bible. It's not your decision. It's not because you decided to go after God or to find him. It's because he found you. So the Lord made you his own in baptism and put his name on you. And that's why infant baptism is such a beautiful picture. We can't walk up there ourselves. We have to be carried and brought to the Lord. And he puts his name on us and makes us his own. But he doesn't stop there. He says, don't turn away from the Lord. Serve him with all your heart. And don't think that I'm going to sin against the Lord by failing to pray for you. I know that sometimes, my dear friends, you're depressed and down and you feel like you're totally forgotten. But don't forget, it's my privilege as your pastor to pray for you and pray for you by name. But it's not just me. Your fellow Christians are praying for you whenever they say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We are praying for each other, praying for the lonely, praying for the sick and the weak and the sad. We're praying for each other. And that's still not the full extent of it. It says that Jesus is praying and the Holy Spirit is praying. So powerful and kind is the word of our God. So the Lord was pleased to make you his own. He's praying for us. And consider well, see the great things that God has done for you. The psalmist will talk about that sometime, how desperate he felt at night and how distressed until he stopped and he thought about what God said about how he loved us and loved us from all eternity. Don't you know, dear Christian heart, that God has known you by name since before time began? He saw every day of your life before even one of them came to be. He knew your weaknesses. He knew your strengths. He knew what he would do in your heart to bring you to himself and make you his own. He knew you by name and still loved you. He is the comforter of the forsaken in distress. He is the husband of widows. He is the father to the fatherless. He's the friend who's coming in when everybody else is going out. He's the one who loves you by name. And he gives you his heart because he wants your heart. He wants your heart in such a way that you joyfully and eagerly overflow with the love that he keeps pouring in. And the more you overflow with that love for others and share God's kindness and mercy with those around you, the more he pours into you, enlarging your heart, making it a bigger and bigger vessel so that it can hold more. But he doesn't stop pouring it in by word and sacrament. Everything in that heart is for you. God's gift to you, his heart to you, the overflow is for everyone around you. And he does want you to be overflowing. Who do you know that's lonely and sad? Who do you know that's sick and needs someone to visit? Who do you know that does not know Christ and needs this comfort and this peace after you have said the bad news that there is no life without God, without His Son, Jesus Christ? But the life is here. It's what our Lord came to bring us. So we will have Sundays like this when we consider God's love and His kindness. We had hoped to show the video about St. Croix Lutheran High School today and Christian ministry, but we can't get it to work because the technology doesn't always cooperate. And I know sometimes when you get all these opportunities and these appeals, I'm on every mailing list I can be because I love to read about what's going on in the Lord's kingdom, but I can't give to all of them either. So I just want to remind you today that we are free in Jesus Christ. You are free to pick and choose where you would like your offerings to go and to give, but always out of gratitude and thanks. The one thing I do plead with you on, though, is when you see an opportunity like this, use what God has given you in prayer. Because as you pray for the Lord to bless, He does it in ways that we can't begin to ask or imagine. That school in Colombia where my brother Chris was a missionary at one time, and School of the Angels, they call it, was going to be shut down by government taxes. And he put out the appeal to Wisconsin Synod members outside Synod budget, you know, help where you can, hundreds of thousands of dollars. What's my little gift going to do? I sent what I could. I said a prayer. Next thing I knew, he sent that out email and said, somebody called me up and said, how much do you need to finish this out? It was over $200,000. He only had like $1,200 or $1,500 by that time. How much do you need? And they wrote the check. They had it. They gave it. God doesn't request or require of us to give what we don't have. He just says, give them what you have. And give them thankfulness and joy. And when God steers you in other directions, then pray for what the Lord is doing. Because what you know, others need to know. And we're trying to share with you details of how the Lord is reaching out beyond St. Croix as an area high school here in the Twin Cities, all over the world. I sent that email out, 21 from Vietnam. When I was in high school, who would have thought of that? Miracles all over the place where people can come, students can come, and hear about the gift of a Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord, given for all, and then go back home and tell everyone again. God, pray for you pray for courage and pray for opportunity and pray for God to pour out His blessings so that this ministry initiative will advance and God's will be done, because God has it all and you have God. Amen. Please rise.